message and the complications that lie within it. We give you thanks. Please open in Jesus' holy name. Guy that was a partner in mine was never his name. Head of vocabulary that sometimes I would speak those words, and he does 19, might have been 20. I think I was 19. And the usually I just out and we'd go dancing or whatever, but group would know that I had been. He was concerned for me, and he really wanted me to be a way better brother. But we were talking one time up and going up, and she says, you know, you don't sound like you're really trying to make a decision of faith. She sounds like you sound, and there's kind of this interesting place where I want to do the right thing. I want to be really clear about what that is. Life can be hard that way. So I need to find a way to find my way through life in a way that honors God and does well by the people who look to me as an example of what it means to be one who's in Christ, or just what it means to be a human being. And I find that, well, so should I eat meat? Should I drink wine? Should I participate in going to sports events? Should I, where do I draw the line about what it means to be a person who is known by God and welcomed by God and who wants to live one's life that way? And I really honestly find that Paul's message to us here leaves me kind of in the conversation with Diana, where she says, you just sound like a person without a backbone. That I want to break one way or another. I don't want to offend anybody. I want to keep everybody happy all the time. And so I'm glad that we have this passage that Karen read today of Jesus in Mark. Now, so what we have going on so far in Mark is John the Baptist showed up. He proclaimed. Jesus came to him, got baptized. The Spirit descended. Jesus went into the wilderness where he was tempted. Then Jesus went down around the Lake of Galilee. He called Peter and Andrew, and he called James and John as his apostles. And that's all that has happened in the gospel so far. The very first thing that we see Jesus actively doing is going into, as a teacher, is he goes into the synagogue there at Capernaum. And he gets up to speak, so he's known in the area, he's respected. He's allowed to come up to the pulpit and to bring his message, so he's not a nobody. People know that he's there and that he's honorable and that he's valued. And so he gets up and he makes his speech, and he teaches as one who has authority, not like their scribes who are afraid to say anything. But he teaches as one who has authority. And then as he finishes up, there's a person there who probably, I don't know how the person even snuck in, because this person's kind of one of those people. You know, he's possessed by a demon, whatever that meant in the first century. But he's identifiable as one who probably ought not to be in the synagogue. He's actually probably unclean. Probably if you actually touch this person, if you hang out with this person, you make your own self unclean. And he recognizes Jesus, or the demon within him recognizes Jesus. I know who you are, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Lord Most High. What are you going to do? Are you going to hurt us all? And Jesus says, be quiet and come out of him. You know, Jesus' first act is to take a person who was excluded, anticipated, formally excluded by his faith community, and not only welcome him, but make him whole. He saw the person whose life was going in a direction that was terribly painful, terribly disruptive, painful to himself, painful to his family, painful to his children, painful to his parents, painful to the community around him. He saw a person who was disrespected, even reviled by the people who peopled his world, and he saw through the brokenness of that person, and he addressed him in love, and he said, to the malady within him, this demon within him. Come out of him, because this is a child who is worth my saving. And the spirit left, and the people were going, what is this thing? What is this thing we just witnessed? How does this work? Who should be welcome here? Have we been denying the very people God would have us save? Now, and so I can come full circle, and I still puzzle in my life about how to be the person that God wants me to be, especially when I know that people know that I'm a pastor, and I know that they look at my life for how to be a person. You know, and I get that, and I can go down the road of fear and try to live very structured life, but that feels life denying rather than life affirming. And so I try to live boldly, and I try to live joyfully, to celebrate the joy that really is my life, because I have Christ and I have you all, and we all have Christ together. And because of that, I can step out joyfully into my world, and I can celebrate, and maybe I can push some boundaries. And maybe, if I'm fortunate, I'm going to offend the right people. And they're going to look at me and they're going to say, what is this thing? What does he think he's doing? That's not how Christians are supposed to behave. That's not what you're supposed to do in the sanctuary. And I hope my prayer is that I cause at least a little bit of confusion that way. And if I do, then I think I'm where Jesus wants me to be. And I think I'm where Paul wants me to be. And I think I'm where I need to be on the growing edge of my own life. To be a little bit confusing, a little bit uncomfortable to people who are too rigid, and to people who need to establish boundaries within their own lives. May God take my life, and may God take each one of our lives and give us the insight to reach across the pain of the person who is broken and offer wholeness. And let them talk about you. Let them talk about us. Let us pray. Lord, I wish I knew more about what it was to be demon-possessed and in the eyes of a world 2,000 years ago, so I could more fully get my heart around the teaching of this passage. I've known lots of folks who are broken and hurting, who might be the very kind of people that were identified as demonic and in your day. And we know a lot nowadays about the structures and the pain, about the ghosts that lock people behind the walls of their own security. May we have the courage to set people free. May we have the courage to love across the boundaries of our fears. And may we have the courage to live well, so that in the midst of our being and doing, others can see that you are God and give thanks. I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.